Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, I want to ask you to do something as we get into the Word of God this morning. I'm going to ask you to hold your place here in Nehemiah chapter 8 and go back to Psalm 73. We have been studying in Psalm 73, and I just want to use a verse of Scripture here in Psalm 73 to springboard into what God's laid on my heart this morning. Now, I think most of you realize what you're doing here this morning. At least I hope you do. A group of Baptists didn't get together last century and decide that this is what we were going to do. This has been God's plan for the ages. Amen. God always has a group of people, a congregation, a gathering, if you will. It's about gathering, brethren. And whether it was in the Garden of Eden with God gathering with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, or whether it's in this day as we have met in this place, in this building, we call this the church. This is really not the church. We're the church. We're meeting in this building, and that's what makes this building significant. Now, this is the house of the Lord, and we ought to keep our foot. We ought to reverence the house of the Lord. We ought to pay respect to anything that belongs to God. Here in Psalm 73, we started out in verse number 1, God is good to Israel. Aren't you glad God's good to His people? Now, listen, I realize I'm not a part of Israel, but I sure am a part of the body of Christ. And God is good to His people. And He said, but you know, there was a time in my life, in verse number 2, to where I was slipping. I was about to just turn away. And I believe this man had left the sanctuary of God. Now, that can happen. There may even be somebody here that has left and you found your way back. Or there's someone here that is contemplating leaving. I don't know what's in your heart. I just know what God placed on my heart to preach to you this morning. And that is, you may think and you may have believed the devil that, you know what, it's best for me to go away from God's house. It's best for me to get away from God's plan. It's best for me to get away from God's word. It's best for me to go out on my own. But what you will find is we are studying in our Wednesday night services about Hosea and Gomer, the prophet Hosea, that Gomer realized, I had it good back when I was with Hosea. I had it good when I was with God's man. I had it good when I was within God's plan. And I got outside of that, and now I'm realizing that it's not all that I thought it was going to be, you see. And so that's what happened to this man. Now what happened? Look if you would in verse number 17. And this is the verse of Scripture I want to use to springboard into this. In verse 17, he said, I was struggling. I had a very poor view of the people that were lost, the people outside of God. I thought they were something, and I thought I wanted what they had. But I realized that's what I left to begin with. That's why I turned to God to begin with. I didn't want that. That's why that's what led me to God. But yet, after he had been with God for a while, he'd gotten into a situation that took his mind and his perspective off of what God was doing in his life. And then he began to think, well, this is a bad thing. In verse 13 and 14, he said, you know, he said, I don't know that this was right for me. I've cleansed my heart in innocency in vain, or I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency for all the day long. I've been plagued and chastened every morning. And sometimes the Christian life, brethren, can seem that way. I didn't say it was that way. I said sometimes it can seem that way. And he said, when I thought to know this in verse number 16, he said it was too painful for me. Until, verse 17, and here it is, I went into the sanctuary of God. And he said, then I understood some things. Now, what is it about the sanctuary? Now, I don't know that it was the first time that this man went back to the sanctuary that he understood. I believe God opened up his understanding. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if it was the first time. If the time that he's speaking of here is one time, a dozen times, if it was an accumulation of times that he went back into the sanctuary. But I do know this, God got a hold of his heart and he began to get a proper perspective of life, the lost, the saved, eternity, God, and God set his thinking straight. And there's just times in our life that God needs to set our thinking straight. And so we go back to Nehemiah chapter number 8, and I want to give you a little backdrop before I give you some thoughts I hope will be a blessing to you this morning. I don't know what you know about the book of Nehemiah, but there's the children of Israel, you know, those people that God is good to in Psalm 73. The children of Israel were taken into captivity. And when they were taken into captivity, the enemy came in and just ransacked the city, tore down the walls, and razed the city. And then God spoke to a man's heart by the name of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah went, and I'm just kind of cutting through some things to get to my message here. I'm giving you a backdrop because I want you to understand what's happening here in chapter number 8. Nehemiah went, he assessed the situation, he saw it, and I mean, it so burdened him, it so moved his heart that the people of God, that the place of God was in the condition that it was in, that God, he mourned and he fasted and he prayed and he wept, and God put a burden in his soul to go back and to restore some things. And so he led that up and he gathered the people and he rallied the remnant. There was a group of people that said, Nehemiah, let's do it. Amen, let's do it. If you'll lead, we'll do it. They went back and the Bible says that they rebuilt them walls. And when they rebuilt those walls, if you can read in chapter 6 of Nehemiah that they finished the walls, they rebuilt them in record time. And then in chapter 7, they began to do a census. In other words, God said, I want every family that was a part of this accounted for. And he said, I want you to do a census. And he said, I want you to make sure that there's food for the people. And I want you to build your homes. And I want you to have things materially. And I want you to have things physically in place. And so they do that in chapter 7. And then in chapter 8, something happens. And it is just outstanding what happens in chapter 8. In chapter 8, the people had gotten to a place where the walls were rebuilt. The city, if you will, was restored, and the families were accounted for. They had finished the work. There was a certain amount of satisfaction that comes from finishing the work. Amen? And there is. When you finish a work, when you finish something, a task that God has tasked you with, it gives a sense of fulfillment. Their families were there. They were safe once again within the walls of the city. And you would think what they would have just laid back and said, well, praise God, we're finished, and we're just going to kind of coast on in, and we've got everything that we could ask for or want. But in chapter 8, verse number 1, they realize that there's something missing in their life. And brethren, I'm here to tell you that if you don't have a right relationship with God, there's something missing in your life. And if you don't realize that you're a spiritual being, and that you need God, and you need the sanctuary, and you need God's people, and you need the Word of God, you need the man of God, there's something missing in our lives. That's what's missing in our world today. There's people that do not realize how important God is, and God's house, and God's Word, and God's people. And so the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 1, all the people. Now I want you to notice this. This is not a preacher that said, hey, guess what? We're going to have an old-fashioned camp meeting, and I want all y'all to come, and I'm going to preach to you, and we're going to worship God. That's not what happened. Please don't miss this. The people had a hunger for the Word of God. They said, you know what? We've done the work. We finished the work. We rebuilt the walls. We've done the census. We've counted our families. We've taken offering, and we've given to the poor. You'll read that in chapter 7. And we built our houses, and our families are safe. But yet, though all of that is done, there's still something missing in our lives. And they remembered. And the Bible says in chapter 8, verse 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They all came together and they said, we need to hear some preaching. We need somebody to break open that book. And I want you to notice what they said. This is one of my favorite phrases in all the Bible. And it said, when they gathered together at the water gate, they spake unto Ezra the scribe. In other words, they got the preacher. So this is not the preacher telling the people we're going to have a meeting. This is the people telling the preacher, we want a meeting. We're hungry. We need to hear some preaching. Give us some Bible, amen. I like that. Would to God that would move in our country today. And the Bible says when they called the preacher, look what they said to Ezra. They wasn't concerned about Ezra's personality. They wasn't concerned about Ezra's charisma. They said, Ezra, that book that you have, that book of God, that book of the law, that book that God gave you, bring that book, Ezra. Bring that book, amen. We want to hear some preaching from the Word of God. I wonder about you today. You want to hear some preaching? Is there something down deep in the recess of your soul when you got up this morning that you said, praise God, it's Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. Now, I'm going to tell you what a lot of folks in America got up today. Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Blow on the Super Bowl. I want to hear some good old-fashioned spirit-filled, God-fearing, window-reveling, preaching, amen. Preach the word. That's what we need. Amen. The Super Bowl is not going to change America for the good. Now, if you go home and watch it, I'm not going to be upset with you in case you stay out of church to do it. And then it doesn't matter whether I'm upset with you or not. You ought to be upset with yourself. But in any event, let's get to this, all right? What happened here? What's going on here? There was a people that had a hunger for the Word of God. They wasn't satisfied with just their church work, so to speak. Yes, they built the walls, and that was very important. It was something that God wanted them to do. But they realized that's not enough. It's not enough just to give out. You've got to take in. Amen. It's not enough just to do the work. You need to get in the Word. Can I ask you a question? Do you hunger for the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you? Do I hunger for the Word of God? Do we hunger for God's Word? How much of God's Word did you read this week? How much did I read? I'm not trying to throw guilt. I'm trying to get real. The people had come to the places where they said, hey, preacher, look at it, verse 1. Hey, preacher, bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Bring that book, because we need to hear from that book. There is an empty spot in our heart. There is a vacuum in our life, and we need to hear something from the book, the Word of God. Can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians walking around with a big old vacuum in their lives because they spent very little time in God's Word this week. I'm not condemning. I'm not guilt tripping. I hope that I'm warning, and I hope that I'm encouraging you. If you are not spending adequate time in God's Word, don't expect to find fulfillment in your life. If you can't spend 20 minutes a day in God's Word, you're too busy doing the wrong stuff. I don't have time for 20 minutes of Bible reading, preacher. Well, you need to cut something out of your schedule. I don't care if it's 20 minutes of sleep. Skip a meal if you have to. You get in this book right here. This is the Word of God, and either we believe that or we don't. I want you to hold your place here and turn, if you would, to Psalm 19. Would you do that? Psalm 19. I want you to turn there. In Psalm 19, now we either believe this or not. Listen, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Can I get an amen if you believe that?
Amen.
I'm going to ask it again. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. It's the Word of God. It either is or it isn't. There's no in between. Either God wrote this book and it's perfect, and we need to know its content, or man did and it's imperfect, and we're wasting our time here today. It's one or the other. There's no in between, brethren. There's no in between. In Psalm 19, notice if you would in verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Amen, preacher. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, I'm going to stop my reading right there. I could go home, but I'm going to stop it for this. Do you see what the psalmist is saying? He said, I'd rather have God's word than much gold, much fine gold. Now, we can say that quote in that verse, but I just wonder if it's real in our heart. Do you love God's word more than money? Would to God that some would chase the word of God the way they do money. There's been times I could put myself in that category. God's Word. God's Word. Don't fool yourself. Don't tell yourself that you hunger for the Word of God and won't spend 15, 20 minutes a day in it. Don't lie to yourself. You say, "Oh, preacher, that's the devil." No, that's you lying to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. What good does it do to lie to yourself? Deep down, you know the truth. That's why there's no joy in your soul. That's why there's no liberty in your life. That's why there's no gladness in your heart. Because as a Christian, God's Holy Spirit who wrote this book lives inside of you. And when you do not have that word getting into you, the Spirit of God is grieved. And when the Spirit of God within us is grieved, we're grieved. And so he said in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord's important. And so the people said, bring that book. Bring that book. I want to encourage you. Get in the book. The psalmist said, my perspective on life had turned sour. Why? I've gotten away from the sanctuary. Can I tell you one of the advantages of coming to the sanctuary is we break open the book. Amen. I was sitting in right there where Brother Larry's sitting this morning, and Pastor BJ was up here teaching our class. I heard Brother Philip getting a little animated over here with the young adult class, and that's great. And I heard Pastor David over here getting animated with a senior high class. That's great. And I was sitting there saying, praise God for the book. Amen. God's given them the book. Amen. You want to change lives? Preach the word. Get in the book. Turn, if you would, to Job. You say, I don't know where that's at. Well, just go back a few books from Psalm. Go back right before the Psalms, and you'll find Job. And when you find Job, look in chapter 23, Job 23. And I must hasten, so I'm going to ask you to turn there quick. So I'm going as quick as my fingers will flip. Job 23. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Job 23, 13. But he is in one mind. And who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Look at verse number 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Now, how does a person get to that place in their life to where they can say, he is of one mind, in one mind, and who can turn him? His mind is made up. Now, listen to me. His mind is made up. His heart is set. He's going to do. He's going to perform. He's going to follow through what his desires are and perform what's laid before him. How do you get to that place in life to where you're not back and forth and off and on and hot and cold and just thinking about it and not doing it? How do you get there? Look at verse number 12. That, because verse number 12 is the key. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. How do you do that, preacher? How do you get to a place where you won't go back on the commandment, but you follow through with it? He said in verse number 12, he said, because I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's how. You want to be successful in your Christian life? You want to be successful in life? You're going to have to get in this book, brethren. Now, the devil's going to try to keep you from it. And all of you can say amen to that, because you fought the same devil I did this week. Amen, church? You fought the same devil. He tried to keep you away from this book just like he did me. He tried to get me cumbered about with a lot of different things instead of getting in this book. He tried to keep you just like he did me. He knows if he can keep us out of this book, we're not going to do God's will. You are not going to do God's will without God's word. We're not going to do God's work without God's word. We need the word of God. Amen, church. And he said, listen, these old saints of God, the psalmist said, the law of the Lord is perfect. The psalmist said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. He said, they're more to be desired than gold. I'd rather have the word of God than much fine gold, the psalmist said. He said, well, preacher, I don't think I could ever get there. Well, don't stop trying. Job, he said, I'd just soon read God's word and eat a good meal. Is that what he said? You say, well, I don't know that I could ever be that way, preacher. Well, I'd say Job wasn't born that way. See, these are things, brethren, that are brought about through discipline. These are things that are brought about through yielding to the Holy Spirit and yielding to the way of God. And, and dying to self. And so we have to understand. Turn, if you would, just one more time to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And then I'm going to get back to Nehemiah and give you some things in there before we close. Psalm 119. Turn there. So we've got to get in the Word of God. Oh, preacher, I know that. I'm not asking you if you know that. I'm asking you if you do it. See, well, I'm going to tell you something's happened in our churches today. We've got this misnomer, we've got this misconception that because I know something, then that's all that I need is just to know it. Knowing it is just half the battle. My question this morning is not, do you know you need to be in the Bible? I'd say there's few people, even among our children here, that knows I need to be in God's Word. The question is not, do you know that you need to be in God's Word? The question is not, do I know I need to be in God's Word? The question is, am I in God's Word? And there may be some mornings that I have to get in God's Word out of just pure discipline and not desire. If I only read the Word of God when I desired, I'm ashamed to tell you I wouldn't read it as much as I do. But I want to be just truthful with you. What good is it going to do you or me to be untruthful with you? But I will tell you, thank God when I've read God's Word out of discipline, most of the time, it's kind of like attending church. You've got up and said, you know, I just don't think I'm going to make it today. But you came on because you knew that it was the right thing to do, and when you got here, you were so glad you came. How many of you ever experienced that? Raise your hand. That's about all of our congregation. And not only while you were sitting here, you're glad you came. When you left, you say, I can say with the psalmist, it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I went today. That's the way it is with reading the Bible. You do it out of discipline. You know what's the thing to do. Before you get through reading, a lot of times, you say, boy, I sure am glad I read the Word today. God gave me something that just thrilled my soul or that really helped answer a question or turn a light on a situation. Psalm 119, look at 162 before we get back to Nehemiah. Psalm 119, look at 162. So what Psalm 19 say? Psalm 19 said, did you know? Now listen to me carefully. Psalm 19 said, did you know when the Spirit of God is at work in your heart that you can get to a place in your life where you can desire God's Word more than money, more than gold, than much fine gold? What does it say in Job? It says when the Spirit of God is active in your life and when you're walking in the Spirit, you can desire God's Word more than your necessary food. Now look what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 162. Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The psalmist said, you know, when I get in your word, it's like digging for lost treasures. That's what he said. The spoil there is treasure. And he said, I rejoice because there's just times that I'm in the word and it's like I found a treasure. Now, you know, I believe every child at some point or another, and you can go back to Nehemiah. I do. I believe that every child at some point or another in their life, and I've done it as an adult, you dream of finding a treasure. You know, could be a hidden treasure or a sunken treasure, and you dream of finding a treasure, the treasure box and all the treasures that are therein. Can I tell you, when you get in God's Word, it's a dream come true. You have treasures that have been hidden that you have discovered. Things that you thought that your life were maybe was void or was empty of, but God said, no, I've got the answer right here, and it's in my word. And so here was this people, and we're back in Nehemiah. They were hungering for the word. I want to show you this. You see in verse number one, it says, all the people. I went through and I underlined in chapter number 8, 11 times that phrase is used. One time it's all the congregation. All the people, all the people, all the people. You know why there's great unity at Fellowship Baptist Church? In any church that there's great unity at, there's a purpose for it. There's a reason why there's great unity where there's great unity. When people get their mind fixed like these people did, look at what it says in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together, look at this, as one man. There was great unity. There was great unity in that gathering. You know why? Because they had the same hunger. Bring that book. We're not interested in some opinion. We're not interested in some secular book of opinions. We want to know what's in the book of God. And I believe I preach to a people like that. I do. And so he said, bring the book. Bring the book. The hunger. Now, I want you to notice this. Not only was there a hungering, look in verse number 3 and 4. In verse number 3 and 4, the scripture says, by the way, in verse number 2, the man of God, Ezra, he stood before the congregation. He read to the men and the women and all that could hear and understand. All the children that had reached a place where they could understand, okay, were sitting or standing in this congregation. Now, here's the second thing I want you to write down. We have the hungering of the book where they were attending, but now we have the hearing of the book where they were attentive. Look at what the scripture says in verse number 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people, here it is, were attentive unto the book of the law. What about that? They were listening. They were attentive. For 30 minutes? No. An hour? No. Look what it says here now. Look what it says. From morning until the midday. About 6 to 12, about 6 hours. I said, man, I believe if I'd been sitting in one of those chairs, I'd fell asleep. No, you wouldn't have, because you wouldn't have been sitting in the chair. Notice what look what it says here in verse number 5. The scripture says that they were standing up. Verse number 4 says, and Ezra the scribe stood. And then the scripture says in verse number 5 that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. They were standing up. You know, that's why we ask people to stand when we read the scripture. I've had people ask me over the years, why do y'all do things this way? Why do y'all do things that way? I want to do things as close as we can to this book right here. As close as we can. Now, I'm not saying that people who don't do that, you know, well, you know, they're backslid. Listen, I'm not going to answer for them. I'm going to answer for me. And so they were attentive. They wasn't passing notes. Listen to me now. I'm not just talking to children. I'm talking to adults. Passing notes in church. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Sitting there talking about things that has nothing to do with the Word of God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Your mind ought to be on one thing right now. And that's what this preacher's saying out of that book you have in your lap. And that's why our churches are cold. And that's why people have no heart for God. That's why people have absolutely no desire to do what God said, because they haven't even heard what God said. They were too busy looking at a screen on a phone or passing a note or staring at the ceiling or thinking about what's for dinner or can't wait for the Super Bowl party tonight. Isn't that a shame? I mean, that's a shame. God wrote a book. And he called a man to preach it. And instead of us listening with anticipation about what God said and getting excited about what God said, our minds are everywhere but where they need to be. But the Bible said these people were attentive. You know what the difference is? What was my first point? They were hungry. You won't have a problem hearing when you're hungry. You won't have a problem being attentive when you're hungry. But when you're not hungry and you don't care what God has said, by the way, when you don't care what God has said, you're not going to do what God has said. So that's kind of straight preaching. That's what we need. Well, I think I'm going to get mad at you. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here today, but if you're mad at me, that doesn't affect me one bit. Just don't get mad at God. I'd rather you get mad at me than get mad at God. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm just telling you, brethren. What we need is we need some people that will understand in our generation today, in our churches today, that get this, what I'm saying to you. Here was a people that said, you know what? Don't quit Sunday night services. Don't quit Wednesday night. Let's do it more, not less. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Right? Why? We're hungry. Come on, bro. We're hungry. Yeah. Bring that preacher man and bring that book. We're hungry. Is that right, church? Amen. Are you hungry this morning?
Yeah.
I believe I'm talking to some folks that are hungry. I believe I'm talking to some folks who don't know what they are, and I believe I'm talking to some folks who are not hungry. But I think that what we need in our churches today is some folks to get hungry for the Word of God. And the Bible says here, if you'll notice, that they not only hungered, but they were hearing. In verse number 3, it says they were attentive. They were attentive. They were in this long service, and they were attentive to what was being said. They were not thinking about, well, boy, I tell you right now, I bet old Brother Allen, I bet he's really being moved by this. I tell you who needs this. Well, if old so-and-so, I seen they wasn't here today. If they was here, they really need this. No, you need this. I need this. You see, our problem is we know what everyone else needs, but we don't see what our need is. It's so easy to see the needs of others. It's so easy to see the fault of others. It's so easy, brethren. What we need to do is take a long look at ourselves and say, am I really, truly hungry for the Word of God? Do I want to hear God's Word? Do I give it my undivided attention when it's being presented? Some folks are so petty, and you're going to get mad at me, but that's okay. Some of you are already mad. I'm not preaching to make you mad, but if you're mad because I'm preaching, then I can't help that. I'm going to preach. I'm going to tell you what the problem is, brethren. Some folks are so petty. It's who's preaching. Well, I don't like that preacher. Is he preaching the Bible? If he's preaching the Bible, if he's preaching the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, what should that matter? Preach the Word. The Scripture says not only were they hungry, not only were they hearing, they were attentive, they honored the Word. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Verse 4 says that Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood. You see that? Verse number 5 says that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Verse 5, for he was above all the people. You see this right here? This is not something a group of men came up with. You understand that, right? You see this? This is a pulpit of wood. And we want to put the pulpit in the center where it belongs. I've been in churches where it's been over to the side. Not going to split hairs and argue with people. I want this pulpit right here. Because this is the center of everything that happens at Fellowship Baptist Church. The teaching and the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
And so don't think that, well, you know, a group of people just got together and said, we're going to build something to lay, so the preacher have a place to lay his Bible. The Bible says right here that in verse number 4 that Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. You say, well, you standing behind it, not on it. Well, I might be on it before I'm done here this morning. Y'all be ready to catch me, amen? Look at verse number 5. And the Scripture says that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. See, I believe this is, we talked about the hunger of the Word, the hearing of the Word. I believe this is the honor of the Word. They're honoring the Word. They're honoring the Word because they have an affection for the Word of God. If you can't, listen, if you read this, you'll see these people have an affection for the Word of God. They were attending, they were attentive, and they were affectionate. It meant something to them when the Word of God was broke open. When I go to church, I want to hear the Bible preached. I want to hear what thus saith the Scriptures. I want somebody to open up the Bible and tell me what it means, and we're going to see that in just a moment. Notice, if you would, not only were they affectionate, but they were affirmative. Look if you would, in verse number 6. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. But don't forget this one, they bowed their heads. Sometimes when the preacher's preaching, you can say, amen, amen. Sometimes you can lift your hand, amen, glory, hallelujah. But sometimes you bow your head. Huh? That's right. Because the Spirit of God puts His finger on something in your life. Doesn't He, brethren?
Amen.
Doesn't He? The Spirit of God has put His finger on something in some people's lives this morning. I can see it in your face. When the Spirit of God puts His finger on your heart, it shows in your face. It shows in your countenance. The Scripture says they bowed their head. And but they worshiped. They didn't get mad. They got moved. And the Scripture says they worshiped. Look at the latter part of verse number 6. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Isn't that something? See, this is the answer right here. We hear, you know, what's America need? What I'm preaching to you this morning. This is what we need. What's our churches need? What I'm preaching to you this morning. What's Fellowship Baptist Church need? This. This right here. This is what we need. We need some people to get hungry again. You see, there was a time in this country where people were hungering for the preaching of the Word of God. Now they can take it or leave it. They can't even jump in a vehicle and ride down to the house of God. They'll flip it on the tube and do five other things while they're watching the church service. Blah! If you're physically incapable of making it, I'm so glad that we have live stream. But if that's your excuse just to sit at home and be lazy and casual, God's not going to use that. You need to get yourself into the house of God and gather with God's people, sing the songs of Zion, open up the Word of God, and follow the preaching of the Bible. I hope to God that everybody in here, if you don't say it with your lips, you'll say it with your mouth. Amen! Amen, preacher! Amen! That's what we need. We need that, preacher. We need some preaching. We need to gather around at the house of God. This old world's going to pot. Satan's got this old world by the nape of the neck, controlling everything that they do. Give us a remnant that'll say, preach the word, bring that book. And when it's preached, say, amen, amen. Raise your hand and signify. That's what we need, preacher. That's what we need. And if you can't raise your head, then your hand, bow your head. That's what we need, brethren. That's what we need. They honored. I want you to look at verse number 7. Look at the latter part of verse number 7. The Bible says, and the people stood in their place. What if you came to church this morning, we had all the chairs out, and you just stood there, and I preached for 6 hours. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to preach for 6 hours. You say, I don't know, preacher. You've gotten close sometimes. Well, what if you did that? Would you get mad at the preacher? Would you get mad at the leadership of the church? Say, I can't believe they expect me to come to church and stand during church. See how petty we are? See how spoiled we are? And we think church is about comfort. Can I tell you, being a Christian is not about being comfortable? We need to study how the church was birthed. The church was birthed in the fire, brethren. In the fire. Now, if everything doesn't go, it's too hot, it's too cold, he's too long, this, that. It's amazing how that we think that everything ought to be governed and catered toward us. I said us now. A hungering for the word. I believe that's where it all begins. Are you hungry? If I were to ask you to go home today, and today through next Saturday, read 3 chapters out of the Gospel of John. You'll read the whole Gospel of John. 3 chapters. It's going to take you about 12 to 15 minutes a day. Would you do that? Don't do it for the preacher. Do it for yourself. Now, if you have a Bible reading schedule, stick with that. But if you're struggling with this area, I don't want to just give you the problem without giving you a solution. Say, preacher, I'm struggling a little bit with Bible reading. If you go home today, and today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, if you read 3 chapters, that's 7 days, there's 21 chapters in the book of the Gospel of John, you'll read the Gospel of John this week. That's a start. Spend no time in the Word. Spend no time in the Bible. Ask God to create a hunger, right? To create a hunger in you for the Word of God. So I don't think it'll work. Well, try it. God said it will. And He's always right. Then the hearing of the word. Then the honor of the word. The honor of the word. Then the affirmation and the honor of the word. They were worshiping God. Then I'll get to 2 more quick things and I'll be done. The handling of the word. I want you to notice what happened here. Now, we have some preachers in the congregation today. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll follow this method right here, you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. By the grace of God, I was taught this as a young preacher. Notice what happened here in the handling of the Word of God. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. The Bible says, and Ezra the priest brought the law. He brought the book. You want to be a good preacher? Bring the book. You can't be a good preacher if you don't preach the Bible. It doesn't matter how charismatic you are, how many illustrations you have, how many tear-jerking stories you have. You're not going to be a preacher that's pleasing to God if you don't bring the book. So he brought the book. Then I want you to notice, look at verse number 5. And Ezra opened the book. Don't just bring it, open it. Amen. Right? So I'm going to get up and tell some stories, but I'm going to have my Bible just in case I need to read a verse. No. Open the book. Now look at verse number 3. And he read therein. He brought the book. He opened the book. He read the book. Amen. And then you know what he did? Notice if you would in verse number 6. He preached the book. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. He began from the book of the law to bless, to exalt the God of the Bible. So, well, I want to hear about this and I want to hear about that. Listen, if God is exalted, then worship will follow. I just believe that. You want to be a good preacher? Bring the book. Open the book. Read the book. Preach the book. Right? But it doesn't stop there. I want you to notice something that is so important. You say, preacher, I don't need church. Well, I'm going to show you from this verse of Scripture just one reason why you do. We're not concerned about little Asher there. Little Asher crying, that doesn't bother us, does it? Amen. I would to God they were 50 sounds of crying babes. It's when the sounds of crying babes leave your church and they're no longer there. That's when we need to get concerned. Amen. I'm glad to hear the little children and the pattering of their feet and the babes crying. That's a great thing. It sure is. And so don't, moms, if you're here today, you say, well, I'm just afraid what that preacher might think or what others might think. That doesn't bother me. Now, there's a time when little Asher might say, you know what? I think I'm going to outdo the preacher. And then that's when mom does what mom does. She says, well, you know what? I'm going to take little Asher in a place where he can't or won't outdo the preacher. Fine. That's just, see, again, we've just become so sensitive. We're just afraid that, my goodness, what's gotten into us? Surely to God, we hadn't got to a place where we become woke Christians. God, help us. We need a little backbone. Amen. A little straightforwardness. A little boldness. Notice, if you would, what the Scripture says here. Look at verse number 7. I'm not going to read all these names, not because I can't. Amen. Hey, my wife will tell you, I'll attempt anything once. And I attempted this before I came, so I'm not going to attempt it again. Now, I did go over these names, but these men, I want you to notice what happens. Once the book was brought, now don't miss this, and I'm going to be done here, okay? The book was brought, the book was opened, the book was read, the book was preached. But it doesn't end there. See, God gives preachers and teachers insight and understanding to help break down and explain, or that word is expound to you, clearly what the Scripture is teaching. Follow this. Aren't you glad for people that God has put in the pathway of your life throughout your Christian experience that opened up the Scriptures into you? Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, it says, these men cause the people, you see that in verse 7? They cause the people to understand the law. So Ezra read it, and he preached it, and he had these helpers to go out among the people, and they expounded and they explained what was being read and preached. That's what preaching is, brethren. You can't have Bible preaching without having an explanation or an exposition expounding what God has said. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, made it very clear to them. I want to clear this up for you because there's some hard places in God's word, right? So we want to make this clear. They read, the Scripture says, in verse number 8, the book of the law of God distinctly. Look at this next phrase. And gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now you know when you go to a church service and a man of God stands up, brings the book, opens the book, reads the book, preaches the book, and gives understanding of what he's preached, that's what you're looking for. Amen? Because how in the world are we going to do it if we don't understand it? I could go on. I just want to give you something. I'm going to come back to this thought. There's the heeding. When these people heard this, you go home, read it on your own. They immediately said, hey, let's do this. Let's do this. And so they read about the Feast of Tabernacles over in verse 13 down through verse number 18. And they immediately began to do it. You know why? Because they didn't want to just read. They wanted to heed. See, when you're hungry, when I'm hungry, when we're hungry for the Word, we don't want to just gather more facts about the Bible. We want the Bible to be a way of life to us. We're hungry because we need that spiritual nourishment that's going to make us strong in our walk with God. Isn't that right, brethren? It is. And so that's exactly what they've done. You say, well, how'd that work out for them? Well, look at the last part of verse number 17. And there was very great gladness. I want to give you two things. This week, if you do not have a regular Bible, daily Bible reading time, would you begin today, the first day of the week, and read three chapters of the Gospel of John so that by next Saturday, before you come to church next Sunday, you will have completed the Gospel of John. And you can say, well, you know what? I'm building toward hungering for the Word. I'm hungering. And we'll get another assignment next week. I just want to get you in the book. I want to get us in the Bible. Would you do that? You say, well, I already have a Bible reading program. Okay, that's fine. Then don't do what I said. But if you don't, or you're struggling to be consistent, I don't just get up here and pound on the pulpit and tell you, hey, you need to read the Bible and give you something to do. And if you'll do that, if you'll read three chapters starting today through Saturday, you read the entire Gospel of John, which, by the way, is a tremendous account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? You'll have that done. Number two, as you're driving along wherever you're going today, maybe even on your way home, when you pull up, and this, man, I hesitate to say this because it might get somebody in trouble, and I don't want to get you in trouble. But when you pull up at a stoplight, or you're going to a store, or you're out in public, I want you to look into the faces of people. Okay? Now, don't stare them down. But I want you to look into the faces of people and see how much of that latter part of verse number 17 you see. There was very great gladness. I want you to listen for singing and whistling this week. America has no song anymore, except for the song of the fool. We've lost our song. We've lost our joy. You know why? This book's been taken out of the public arenas. We're saying that this book's no good for our children. And in most cases, we're saying it's not even good for our churches. But this book, The Joy of the Lord, as you'll see in this chapter 8, is our strength. We've lost it. So just look, just kind of glance at people when you pull up and look at the sour, sad. You don't even have to go there. I would tell you just to kind of turn around and look in the congregation. There's some of that today. You've lost your joy. There's no way you can read this book consistently and not have joy flooding your soul. And when you begin to do what it says, there will be very great gladness. All right, I'm done. And say, well, it's about time. I thought you would never get there. Oh, listen, I get there eventually no matter what. But I did preach to you this morning what God told me to. And I hope that nothing I've said it would be taken wrong, but I do not apologize for anything I said. The only thing I would step back on is I hope I didn't say it in a way that would be dishonoring to God. I want to honor God with my life. This book has changed my life. This book has changed many people's lives that sit in the sound of my voice. This book will change your life. This book is what we need. We have it. We just don't use it. Would you stand to your feet with me? I'm going to ask the pianist to come and just play softly. I don't want anybody to move right now except for the pianist. Would you just come and play softly?